We're at the bottom of Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis, Esvei Lechem Aponim. But for my benefit, if it's okay with the Olam, we'll have a little bit of a review. The Machlokes, Rabba and Rav Chisda, and a little bit of an overview of the Kashas and the Terutzim. Rav Chisda is clearly a Machmir, because he says that a ofer miyontif l'chol loke. He doesn't accept, as the Gemara develops it, the principle of hoel v'boi orchim, that mikloi le orchim v'chazile, hashtanami chazile, as if to say we anticipate that orchim will show up. He's already eaten his suda. He's clearly baking for the purpose of chol. That's not l'tzorech ochol nefesh v'yontif, and therefore he gets malchus. But as we develop the sugya, I think we'll see that counterintuitively, Rav Chisda, to some extent, is a mekil. And we'll develop that as we go along. Rabba says, ain't a loka, and he accepts the principle of hoel. Rabba immediately asks Rav Chisda, how is it possible that we can bake and cook on Yontif on a Friday for the sake of Shabbos? And don't tell me Erev Tavshilin, because according to you, by baking for Shabbos, since it's not Litzarach Hayom, you should be incurring a Chi of Malkus, and there's no way that Erev Tavshilin as a Takonid Rabbanon could undermine a Chi of Doraisa of Melechas Afia, Melechas Bishul, whatever it is. And here's where we get to the critical point where Rav Chisda actually comes up with a kula. And that is, in order to justify the mechanics of Erev Tavshilin, he says that on a Doraisa level, you'd have no problem cooking and baking on Yontif for Chol. When the Torah excludes cooking and baking for Chol, that's Chol, but has no bearing on cooking or baking for Shabbos. And we quoted the concept of Kiddusha Achas. Rav Chisda, in his worldview, in his conceptual perspective, would integrate both Yontif and Shabbos as 48 hours of consecutive Kiddush Sayom. It's one unit, and therefore when you're cooking on Yontif and Shabbos, that's not called Shalol Litzarch Yontif. That's also called Litzarch Yontif. You've already eaten Yesuda. We have no anticipation that Orchim will show up on this Yontif, but nevertheless, since you're cooking for Shabbos, that's considered as if you're cooking for Yontif. Hence, cooking on Yontif, according to the Torah law, says Rav Chisda, would be mutter on behalf of Shabbos. The only reason why the Rabbanon instituted the Erev Tavshilin is because they were afraid that if we allow you to cook from Yontif to Shabbos, you might mistakenly come to the conclusion that you could cook from Yontif to Chol, which would be a Malacha Doraisa with a Chiyuv Malkus. In order to obviate that, they made this Heker, this institution, that when you are cooking from Yontif to Shabbos, you're really not allowed to do so, Ke'ilu, although on a Doraisa level you are permitted. And in order to allow you to cook from Yontif to Shabbos, we're going to require that you set up an Erev Tavshilin. That's going to be a Heker to remind you that certainly you cannot cook from Yontif to Chol. At this point, Rabba raises a second objection to Rav Chisda from the case of Behema Mesukenes. And this is a Mishnah in Masechta Beitza regarding the question of slaughtering a Behema Mesukenes in order to save yourself, protect yourself from a monetary loss. If you don't shech the animal and it dies, it's nevela, it's worth very little. But if you shech the animal, then it's meat, is kosher meat, and it can be eaten. And now the Mishnah establishes that Behemim Sukenis lo yishchot biyontif. You are not allowed to shech this animal for yontif. But on the other hand, the Mishnah says that if you're going to eat on yontif a kizayis of the basar of this Behemim Sukenis, then you're allowed to shech it. And yesterday we had a whole discussion about ribui b'shiurim and why that doesn't apply in a case where you're shechting a gigantic animal and you only need one kezayis. But be that as it may, Now, Rabbah sees this as a proof to his shita of hoil. And therefore, when we say that he might need a kezayis basar on yontif, that's because even if he's eaten his sudas yontif, maybe the archim will show up. But according to your Rav Chisda, you reject completely outright the principle of hoil. So why are we allowing you to do shechita? What are the chances that you'll in fact need a kezayis basar? They border on nil because you've already completed your suda. You have no anticipation that Orchim will show up. Ah, you'll tell me, Rav Chisda, that we allow you to do shechita on yontif of a behema mesukenes because we want to protect you from a hefsed mamon. That doesn't make any sense. Where do we find that for the sake of a hefsed mamon, we permit you to violate a malacha d'oraisa? Let's call a spade. You're shechting this animal in order to avoid a hefsed mamon. You have no indication or interest in eating the basar of the animal. And we're going to say, well, you will eat a kezayis of the basar. What do you mean you could eat a kezayis of the basar? If Orchim show up, you'll eat a kezayis of the basar. That's a raya, says Rabbah, for my shita. Says Rav Chisda, no. What's going to happen is we are, in effect, compelling him to have in mind, when he does the shechita, that he will eat a kezayis of the basar. And hefsed mamon is only the background. What motivates this person to eat the kezayis basar, even if he's stuffed to the gills, is that he wants to protect himself from the loss. The only way we're going to allow him to shech the animal on yontif is because he's going to eat the kezayis basar. So you can bet your bottom dollar, pardon the pun here, because we're dealing with the bottom dollar over here, that he will in fact have the kavana when he does the shechita for the intention of eating a kezayis basar, and we can rely on him. He's going to follow through and eat and force himself to eat the kezayis basar. Why? Because of hefsed mamon. And that's called gamar belibo sheyochal kezayis min habasar. And this leads us to the sugya of lechem aponim. Now, as you know, in the parasha of lechem aponim, on a weekly basis, they brought a fresh, fresh baked 12 chalos, right? And they divided up on the shulchan, in the heichal, and so forth. And they replaced the old lechamim, last week's lechamim, which are no longer fresh, with fresh baked chalos. And this took place on a weekly basis. By the way, on the side, has nothing to do with that sugya, but I'll mention that the old lechamim, which are a week old, were divvied up amongst the kohanim, and the Gemara tells us there was an amazing miracle, and the bread tasted as fresh as it was a week ago. And even if a kohen received a very small piece because they had to divide up amongst the Anshei Mishmar, Kippul HaLavan, he felt satiated by it. There were all sorts of miracles that took place with regard to the Lechem Aponim. In any event, Leisvei, Rabbi asks a question on Rav Chisda from a Mishnah deep in Masechta Menachos. The Mishnah tells you how many days would have passed by from the time that you baked the lechem aponim until the time that you ate the lechem aponim. Now, what we have to know is that the baking of lechem aponim does not override neither Shabbos nor Yontif. So let's say if we have an average Shabbos, Friday is Chol, it's not a day of Yontif, just a regular case, and he's going to have to bake the lechem aponim on Friday. There's no option of baking the lechem aponim on Shabbos. Now, he's baking the lechem aponim, and tomorrow on Shabbos, which we'll call day two, meaning the baking was on day one, that's Friday, Shabbos is day two, that's when he brings out the new lechamim that he baked yesterday, and replaces the old lechamim, the old chalos, with the new set of chalos. But they won't be eaten until Shabbos a week later. Now, from one Shabbos to another Shabbos is 8 days. How do I know this? I only know it from Bris Milah, because if the baby is born on Shabbos, then his 8th day is going to be on Shabbos. So what we have here is from the Friday in which he baked the lechem upon him till the time that they ate the lechem upon him, 9 days passed. However, what happens in a case where Yontif is on a Friday? If Yontif is on a Friday, since we said that Afiyah is not docha neither Shabbos nor Yontif, the baking of the bread now has to take place on Thursday, Erev Yontif. And again, it won't be eaten until the Shabbos after the Shabbos, which means on day 10. So now we have an option of 10 days between the time of the Afiyah and the time of the Achil. But what happens if Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday and a Friday, and it's a 2-day Yontif? This has to do with the sugya in Masechta Erevin that we once spoke about, Kiddush Achas. But be that as it may, if both Thursday and Friday are Yontif, then the latest time for baking the lechem upon will be on a Wednesday. And in such a case, we jack up the number of days between the baking and the eating to 11. And that's the subject of the Mishnah in Menachos. So we're talking about lechem aponim, that was organized that was baked every Erev Shabbos and organized on the Shulchan every Shabbos. And that went on in the Heichal in the Beis Hamikdash. So now we turn to Daf Mem Zayin Omer Aleph.
They could eat the lechem on Yom Kippur.
Oh, that's the sugya that we're about to get to. Nechal Letisha, meaning in the first round of calculating the days between the Yafiyah and the Achila, we have the number 9. That's classic. Why? Because the baking is on Friday, the eating is the Shabbos after. However, sometimes it's Asura. And sometimes it even goes as far as 11 days. But lo pachos v'lo yoser. It can never be less than 9 days, nor can it be more than 11 days. And the Mishnah explains, Keita, Kidarko, in a general, normal situation, where Friday is a weekday, is Necha Letisha. Why? Because Nefa b'Erev Shabbos, and on the very next day, which is day 2, we organize the lechem on the Shulchan, and v'nechal b'Shabbos on the next Shabbos. 9 days, Letisha. Chal Yontif lios b'Erev Shabbos. Now Yontif is on a Friday, and therefore we have to bake the lechem upon him on a Wednesday. Nechal l'Shabbos liasor. Shnei yomim tovim shorosh Hashanah. If Wednesday is Erev Rosh Hashanah, Thursday and Friday are Rosh Hashanah, so that we bake the lechem upon him on Wednesday, and now Nechal Shabbos liachadasar, we have 11 days. Lufisha lechem eino doche, no, it's the afiyah, the breaking of the lechem, eino doche lo es haShabbos velo es haYontif. Now, Rab is going to point out that here Rav Chisda's kula is going to get him into deep trouble. Because as we said, Rav Chisda, in order to justify the enterprise of Erev Tavshilin, he defended himself by saying that on a Doraisa level, you're allowed to bake on Yontif for the purpose of Shabbos. So therefore, says Rava, E Amrit Tzorche Shabbos Nasim B'Yontif, according to the Torah law, you're allowed to prepare on Yontif for Shabbos, is Amai Lo Dochi Yontif. Why shouldn't we assume that the baking of the Lechem Aponim should override the Yontif? In other words, if Yontif is on Friday, and the Mishnah in Menachos assumes, therefore, you're going to have to bake the Lechem Aponim on Thursday on Erev Yontif, why is that so? Why not bake the lechem upon him on Yontif. You don't need it on Yontif. According to you, Rav Chisda, who cares? As long as you need it on Shabbos, you've got, as we said before, 48 hours of continuous Kedushas Hayom. And if you'll tell me, well, we have a Shavuos, and we don't want you to bake on Yontif for Shabbos, because somebody might mistakenly come to think that you're allowed to bake from Yontif on to Chol, but we have a principle called Ein Shavuos B'Migdosh. And therefore, the Lechem Aponim should be baked on Yontif, according to your Shita, Rav Chisda. Now, before we get to Rav Chisda's very complicated answer to this question about two categories of Gzeros, and maybe we'll be able to, you know, broaden our discussion to general issues about rabbinic institutions, I wanted to share with you the following note. We have two sets of months. We have months that are 29 days, which is called Chaser, and we have months which are 30 days, which is Molad. Now, of course, what I'm about to say is not relevant to our time, because we have a calendar, a cheshbon of Hil HaSheni. But if we go back to a period of time before Hillel, then we have Kiddush al pi Re'iyah. So if the Eidim come on day 30, and they testify that they saw the Levana b'chidusho, we will sanctify day 30 as Rosh Chodesh. The previous month is a chas of 29 days, and we go on. However, if the Eidim didn't come on day 30, then we assume, and we don't even need Eidim in this case, that the previous month is a mole of 30 days. There were no Eidim on the 30th day. No Eidim testify Re'inu ha'levana b'chidusha. And hence, the previous month becomes a mole, and day 31 becomes Rosh Chodesh of the new month. Now, in the case of Chodesh Elul, we get to day 30, and we're going to consider day 30 as a Yontif, as Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because we're always afraid that maybe the Eidim will show up and they'll testify that Elul was Chaser, which means that Tishrei is on day 31. So in that case, Nogim bo kodesh ki biyontif, shem yavo eidim yoso yom via idu shirua salavanov, yisbar shu rosh chodesh tishrei. So that day might be Rosh Hashanah. Now, what happens if the eidim did come on that day? Well, at the time of Kiddush al pi Re'iyah, if they came before Mincha, and we'll explain why Mincha is crucial here, that means before 9.5 hours of the day, which is called Mincha Ketana, then Bezlin will be Mekadesh the Chodesh, and that day, day number 30, is Rosh Hashanah and Fartek HaMaisa, meaning El was Chaser, and Rosh Hashanah therefore is on day 30. That's going to be the single day of Rosh Hashanah. Now, here's where the problem arises. And this is sugya in two or three places in Shas. Im lo bo eidim b'oso yom kodem ha-mincha. There were no eidim before mincha. Now the eidim might show up after mincha. And on a technical doraisa level, their eidus would be accepted. And unbeknown to us, that day, meaning day 30, was yontif. But the chachamim made a takana that we're not going to accept the eidim after mincha time. There is such a short period of time between what we call Mincha Ketana and Shkia that we're always afraid that there'll be some mistake over here. So they made a takana, and the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed and elsewhere goes through the reasons for this takana. And they decided that since we were Noe Kedusha Al Safek until this point, meaning in the absence of Eidim, we never knew whether Eidim would show up. What we're going to determine is that we're not going to accept the Eidim, but we're going to conclude that day as if it was Rosh Hashanah. notice that the Edom came, we didn't accept them. We know for sure that Rosh Chodesh is on day 30, meaning that day 30 is the first day of Tishrei. So there is no Sveika Dioma. And yet, by A, postponing the Eidus till the next day, and B, insisting that we continue to observe the first day as Yontif, we have what's called 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and neither of them are B'Torah Safek. The second day is not B'Torah Safek because we only officially accepted the Eidim on the second day, meaning we made the Rosh Chodesh. We pushed off the Rosh Chodesh till day 31. Day 30, on the other hand, is not a suffix, because we know that the Edom came and they were ready and eager to give their testimony on day 30. But yet, we're going to sanctify day 30 and day 31. Is Tiknu Chachamim She Yinagu Dine Yontif on the first day Ad Siyumo? And the reason for that is, again, the Gemara says, "Kadesh lo yizalzel bo l'shan above yom u'sheina kadosh." If in the middle of the day, you know, comes mincha, okay, everybody go out to work, then next year they'll assume that that day is not yontif, and yizalzel bo l'shan above. Therefore, they made a takana, and they established that the yontif Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. Now, why does our Mishnah in Menachos that we're studying now present the case of Rosh Hashanah? We have what's called Yontif Sheni Shel Golios. So that with regard to the three regalim, we may have situations in which the regal will fall out on a Thursday, Friday, and we'll have 2 days of Yontif. And the answer is because this Mishnah is going back to the time of Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah in Yerushalayim. And Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah in Yerushalayim was not the period of time when they instituted Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Golios. And therefore, the only situation which is parallel, almost identical with Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Golios, is Rosh Hashanah. That's why the Mishnah in that historical context gives us the example of Rosh Hashanah. And Rashi indicates, which is a bit of an issue, that Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Golios was instituted after the Churban HaBayis. And not only that, Rashi seems to be of the opinion that even in Eretz Yisrael there was Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Golios. Again, if you're familiar a little bit with some of the Brisker Rav's chumras here in Yerushalayim, you'll know what I'm referring to. Okay, so now let's go back. The Eidei Kiddush HaChodesh did not come before Mincha on a Thursday. Had they arrived before Mincha, then Thursday would have been Rosh Hashanah, not Friday. But they came too late. Okay. So now, we don't have the option, says the Mishnah Menachos, of baking the Lecha Mishnah on Friday. Why? Because had the Edom come on Thursday before Mincha, we could have baked the Lechem Apanim on Friday, because then Thursday would have been Rosh Hashanah, and Friday would have been a day of Chol. It would have been the second of Tishrei. But since the Edom didn't show up before Mincha on Thursday, that day Thursday is sanctified as Rosh Hashanah, and the next day Friday is also Rosh Hashanah, because we refused to accept the Edom. We pushed off the Kabbalah Sa'edus of Kiddush HaChodesh until the next day, which is Friday. So now, both Thursday and Friday are endowed with the status of Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, the latest time that we can bake the Lechem Aponim will be on a Wednesday, meaning Erev Rosh Hashanah. And he writes here that there's a halacha here. Now again, let me just get the cheshbon. So if the Edim had come before Mincha on Thursday, so then Friday is Chol, therefore they could bake the Lechem Apanim on Friday. Ah, so wait a second. On Wednesday, we don't know where the Edim will come on Thursday. And when I say come on Thursday, I mean, well, they'll come before Mincha on Thursday. Because again, we only accept the Edim before Mincha. So we're going to have to bake the Lechem Aponim on Wednesday. I'll suffake, because maybe the Edim will come tomorrow on Thursday. And then tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah. In fact, that's why we were observing Thursday as Rosh Hashanah, because we were afraid that the Edim might show up. So there's a very strange halach over here, because the Mishnah implies that in a case where the Edim did show up on Thursday before Mincha, we could bake the Lechem Aponim on Friday. But wait a second, we've already baked the Lechem Aponim on Wednesday because we thought that Thursday, we anticipated that Thursday might be Rosh Hashanah if the Edim show up. So Tosis says, that's his top Tosis, that there's halach of pigeon. That since now we're going to bake Lechem Aponim on Friday, because it, as it turns out, the Edim did show up on Thursday, and Thursday was Rosh Hashanah, Friday is the day of Chol, then we'll be poder the Lechem Aponim that was baked on Wednesday. I don't know. You mean you really have to be a bucky and kachim here to know about the halacha of pigeon in Lechem Aponim. I mean, assuming Lechem Aponim is Kedushas Aguf, but it's not Kedushas Mizbeach, it's Kedushas Aguf, and therefore it's subject and lends itself to pigeon. V'atam shayu ofim lechem acher. And the reason why they would bother with a second round of baking on Friday, and then be poder the lechem of Wednesday, if the Edim showed up on Thursday before Mincha, is because yesh mitzvah sheyia lechem cham. We want the lechem to be baked as close as possible to the time of its achila. And therefore, since we have the option of baking it on Friday and being poder the lechem of Wednesday, that's exactly what we have to do. Again, even though there were so many miracles that took place with regard to lechem upon him, but nevertheless, we have to do what we have to do. Ain't some kanal anes. Okay. Now, he says in the name of the Tashbates. Yeah. This, my friends, is the Tashbates, which was published in Amsterdam in the year Shin Reish Aleph. That's 350 years ago. And I'm telling you, it's crispy like new. And the reason we love this Sefer is because it has a beautiful woodcut. Anyway, that's the Tashbates. So, getting back to the Tashbates, he writes the following. He says that the reason why we're going to bake a second round of Lechem Aponim on Friday is because Ein Zeh Derech Kovod Shel Mala Sheyisadru Lechem Shenefa Berevi Kishe Efshel Lefos Oso B'Erev Shabbos. If we have the possibility of baking it on Friday, that's exactly what we have to do. That's Kavod Shel Mala. To already begin baking on Wednesday for the Lechem HaPanim, which could be baked on Friday and will be poda the Lechem of Wednesday, that's not Kavod Shel Mala. Okay. So now we have the Mishnah in Menachos. Now, if the Edim, as we said before, came after Mincha and Rosh Hashanah at the time of Alpi Edus, Kiddush Alpi Re'iya, we had Rosh Hashanah on Thursday and Friday. So the Lechem HaPanim would now, what number? The Mishnah gives the number 11, am I right? Yeah, the maximum is 11. Well, let's just work this out. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is 11 days. Now, Chamishi is Aleph B'Tishrei, Misadjin Oso B'Shabbos B'Gimel B'Tishrei, Nimtza Shesiluko B'Shabbos Shalachreachal B'Asora B'Tishrei. Ah, I see what he has in mind. This is your question about Yom Kippur. Shabbos is going to be on Yom Kippur. Why? Because the first day of Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday. So Thursday, Friday, and now you add the 8 days from Shabbos to the 2 days of Thursday and Friday. So then it's impossible. It's impossible. 1 second. Yeah. So let's go like this. The Lechem HaPanim has to be baked on a Wednesday. He organized it based on Gimel Tishrei. For my mind, it's a little easier to do it this way. It's the same thing. If you count the 3 days from Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, plus the 8 days from Shabbos to Shabbos, you're up to day 11. That day is going to be Yom Kippur. Why? Because, as we said before, the first day of Tishrei is on a Thursday. If the first day of Tishrei is on Thursday, then the following Shabbos is going to be Yom Kippur, which means we can only eat the Lechem HaPanim on Motzei Shabbos, which is really day 12. And the Mishnah gives you the maximum of day 11. So the answer is, Shabbos, excuse me, Shalachreha, Eino Yom Kippur Sha'asa Bachilo. Shekein kefishin isbar ba'orli el gak min rabbana nagu biyom chamishi yontif al rosh shana min haTorah hu biyom shishi. Wow! Since they postponed the edus, so on a deraisa level, there's no way that you could be mekadesh Friday. I'm sorry. Start again. On a deraisa level, there's no way that you could be mekadesh Thursday because they didn't accept the edim on Thursday. And Kiddush could only take place after the Eidim came and Bezdin was Mekadosh the Chodesh. So Bezdin was only Mekadosh the Chodesh on Friday. Which would mean that if we go back to the Doraisa law, then that Shabbos is the 9th of Tishrei, not the 10th of Tishrei. It's not Yom Kippur. Elamai, Nogu, Yontif, B'Yom Chamishif. Right, Thursday was ready Yontif, but that's only Mirabbanon, because Rabbanon decided that since they already observed it as Safek, anticipating the Edim, we're going to continue and endow that day with the status of Rosh Hashanah Dirabbanon. Avo Rosh Hashanah min haTorah hu biyom shishi. V'im kein Yom Kippur hu biyom rishon. So this is pretty interesting, because if I understand correctly, what we're saying is that the Mishnah in Menachos maxes out at 11 days, and Enochinami, we could eat the Lechem Aponim on that Shabbos. Now, I'm not sure. Are we saying, therefore, that they ate the Lechem Aponim on Shabbos? It's Yom Kippur de Rabbanan. I mean, Rabbanan is considered Yom Kippur. He says, Nimtza Shemoid Siluka v'Shabbos Shalachar Chalbach be Asar v'tishri Shu Yom Tzon Kippurim Ayu Ochlen Oso Motzi Shabbos Shu Yom Shnei Masar Lafir. Now, Shabbos Lachre Eina Yom HaKippurim Sha'asar Torah Be'achila. Right, because it's only Minarabonim that they would know a Kiddusha on Thursday, but really Rosh Hashanah is on Friday. So therefore Yom Kippur is really on Sunday. Shigam Ilu Yom Kippur Haya B'Shabbos. All right, this is getting a little complicated. Let me just try and give a stab at it. If it doesn't go, we'll move on. Because I want to get back to Rav and Rav Chisda. He says, let's say that the Edom came on the 31st. And they testified that they saw the moon on the 30th. Then, Mekudesh HaChodesh Me Esmol. Then yesterday, there was Kiddush HaChodesh, L'minyan HaMo'ados, Afal Pikein Tzrichim Linog, Kodesh Gam B'yom Lamed Aleph, Memele Lo Yuchu Lefos Esachal Shuv B'yom HaSheni. Okay, that has to be worked out. Okay. Omar Le, let's go back to the Gemara. Rav Chisda now is going to defend himself against Rab. Rab's point was, let's just go over it again, that since you, Rav Chisda, hold that Tzarchei Shabbos Nasa B'yontiv, it's only Mishum Gzera D'Rabbanon, then we should apply the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Says Rav Chisda, depends what kind of shvus you're discussing. There are two categories of shvus. And in the more chomer category, which is called shvus krova, the more chomer is shvus rechoka, then in shvus rechoka, the chachamim will not be matir baking on Yontif for the purpose of Shabbos. So that again, if Yontif is on a Friday, in a case of a Shvus Rechoka, the Shvus is in place, meaning it's active, and we cannot allow you to bake on Yontif for Shabbos, because it's a Shvus Rechoka. So we have something called a Shvus Krova, and in the case of a Shvus Krova, we apply the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash, and then we have a Shvus Rechoka. What's a Shvus Krova? Shvus Krova means that on this very day of Shabbos or Yontif, we need to be Matir a Shvus. So for the purpose of achieving our goal in the Migdash, on this very day, we will neutralize the Shvus. But then you have something called the Shvus Rechoka. On this day, we're not going to gain anything by violating the Shvus. Next Shabbos will gain something, but not this Shabbos. So you're allowing me to bake today, but I don't need this baking today. Right? Because I'm going to only eat the Lechem Aponim a week from this Shabbos. In other words, if I were to eat the Lechem Aponim today, then we would allow you to bake the Lechem Aponim on Yontif, on Friday Yontif, because Ein Shvus B'Migdash, because now we need to prepare for Shabbos. So we can, in Migdash, overlook and ignore the normal Shvus that you cannot bake on Yontif for Shabbos. We would allow you to bake for Yontif for Shabbos if that Shabbos you need that baking. That's called a Shavuos Krova. But if you don't need that baking, you're only going to benefit from it when you eat the Lechem Aponim a week later. That's called a Shavuos Rechoka. Lo Hitiru, they were not Matir, a Shavuos Rechoka, even in the base Hamikdash. So he says here, the note, Shavuos Rechoka, mashma, hainu litzorach Shabbos hashnia. Hatzorach l'Shabbos hasmucha, nikra Shavuos Krova. Okay, now he says that Tzorech Bir, Zes Sosa Lamashamashma Li El Shalitzorech Shabbos Hasmucha Nechshav Shavuos Rechoka. Let's just see. Shavuos Krova. Where is Shavuos Krova? Here it is. Shavuos Krova, Rashi says, Shal Yontif Atzmo. O Sheyota O Shal Osa Shavuos Atzmo Shetzricha Lebo Bayom. So Rashi emphasizes that Krova is Bo Bayom. If that be the case, then even in a case of Shavuos Hasmucha, it would be Rechoka because it's not Lebo Bayom. Right, look at Shavuos Rechoka. Rashi says, Lidchos Shavuos Yontiv Zeh B'shvil Shabbos Shnia. Forget about Shabbos Shnia. Even if it was a Shabbos Rishona, it would still be a Shavuos Rechoka because Shavuos Krova means Litzorech Bo Bayom. And he's baking it before Shabbos for Shabbos. So that already should make it into a Shavuos Rechoka. Yeah, but I'm not bothered by this because it seems to me that Rashi is operating with the concept of Kiddush Achas, that you know, we merge Yontif together with Shabbos, and that's called Bo Bayom. Now the Gemara asks the following kash on Rav Chisda. So the Mishnah in Menachos, which we don't have the whole Mishnah in front of us here, but it quotes a dissenting view of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Omar, and his opinion is, in the name of Rav Shimon ben Hasgan, that if Yontif is on an Erev Shabbos, then the Lechem upon him is Doche Es HaYontif. In other words, according to this opinion of Rav Shimon, when you bake the Lechem upon him on Yontif, that is called Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. There's no need to be Makdim the afiyah of the lechem upon him to Erev Yontif, you can do it on Yontif itself. You're not going to eat it on Yontif, you're going to eat it on Shabbos. So why is that called Tzorech Ochel Nefesh? And the answer is that somehow Rabbi Shimon maintains that since we merge both Yontif and Shabbos, Shabbos is, so to speak, an extension of Yontif. And yet, nevertheless, in general, we don't allow baking on Yontif for the purpose of Shabbos. So now what we're going to say is that we're going to allow you to bake on Yontif for Shabbos, which again, on a Doraisa level, I understand, Rabbi Shimon maintains that that's called Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, but on a Drabbana level, we don't allow you to bake on Yontif for Shabbos. So now you're going to have to apply the principle of Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. The only way that Rav Shimon could be understood, allowing the baking of the Lechem Aponim on Yontif for the purpose of Shabbos and overriding the Shavuos of Yontif L'Shabbos, is if we activate the principle of Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. Now, What kind of shvus are we talking about here? We're talking about a shvus rechoka, because that bread is not going to be eaten on this Shabbos, but rather a week later. Now, the eino docha es yom tzon, in other words, when the Torah says that you cannot do malacha on Yom HaKippurim, there is no leniency of tzorech ochel nefesh on Yom Kippur. So therefore, even Rav Shimon would agree that if Yom HaKippurim was on a Friday, we would have to be makdim the afiyah to Thursday, because Friday Yom HaKippurim doesn't lend itself to maleches ochel nefesh. There's no heter ochel nefesh. So again, if it was a regular yontif that fell on a Friday, then Rabbi Shimon is going to allow you to bake the lechem aponim on Friday of yontif for the purpose of Shabbos. Why? Because on a deraisa level, you're allowed to bake from yontif to Shabbos. And that's the sheet of Rav Chisda, in fact. Ella, what the Rabbanan prohibited it, but ain't shvus b'migdash. Now, what do you mean ain't shvus b'migdash? You just told me, Rav Chisda, that we waive the principle of ain't shvus b'migdash in a case of a shvus rechoka. This is clearly a shvus rechoka, because he's not cashing in on this afiyah today or tomorrow, but rather a week down the line on the next Shabbos. And the Gemara answers, according to Rav Chisda, b'ha pligi, this issue of Shvus Rechoka versus Shvus Krova is the subject of the debate between the Tanakhama, between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon. And that's Mar Sovar, the Tanakhama holds Shvus Krova itiru, Shvus Rechoka lo itiru. Mar Sovar, but Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Shvus Rechoka nami itiru. That when we apply the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash, it applies even in the case of a Shvus Rechoka. It's almost as if they're arguing about like Huchua Dechuya. In other words, what are we saying about a Shvus B'Migdash? Are we saying that there is no entity of the Shvus? Are we saying that for the benefit of the Migdash and the Avodah Sakarban and all those mitzvahs, we're going to override the Shvus? I mean, if that be the case, then maybe we can only be Doche the Shvus if we need to today. You know, we're going to cash in today. So within the context of this unit of Kedush Sayom, if we don't need it, then we don't have anything that pushes us to override the Shvus. Or do we say no? Then in Migdash there is no Shvus. So what difference does it make whether you need this Shvus for this Shabbos or for next Shabbos? And this is what we have here in the sugya. Now, I have here two notes that I wanted to share with you. The first note is on the kasha of Rabba on Rav Chisda. And the Balei HaTosfos are perturbed here. Why does Rabba attack Rav Chisda from Rav Shimon, as if to say, Bishleim l'didi nicha? I mean, why isn't any better according to Rabba? So perhaps we're going to say the following. Rabbi Shimon holds that you can be matir even a shvus rechoka. Right, but it doesn't make any sense in the mind of Rabba to say that the Tanakhama would reject Rabbi Shimon on this count. And he would say, well, no, you can't be matir a shvus b'migdash if it's a shvus rechoka. Rabba doesn't know of such a thing. You know, it's Rabba, in Rabba's mind, it's all or nothing, so to speak. In other words, if we have a heter for Shvus Rechoka, and that we see in Reb Shimon, then it should make sense that even according to the Tanakhama, we're not going to be matir a shvus rechoka. So Bishleim, according to Rabbah, who holds that on a deraisa level, you're not allowed to bake from yont for the purpose of Shabbos. This braisa is understandable. Why? According to Rabbah, we should say that the machlokes between the Tanakhavar of Shimon ben Askan revolves around this question of Tzorchei Shabbos b'yontif. The Tanakhama holds that on a deraisa level, Tzorchei Shabbos b'yontif is mutar. You're allowed to do on yontif for the purpose of Shabbos. And, no, I'm sorry. What was I saying? Rav Shimon or the Tanakhama? Let me correct myself. According to the Tanakhama, the Torah does not permit you to bake on yontif for Shabbos. And if that be the case, we're dealing with the Doraisa, and there's no difference between the Migdash and outside the Migdash. According to Rav Shimon, on the other hand, Minat Torah, you're allowed to do Tzorchei Shabbos b'yontif. Chachamim instituted Gzera prohibiting it. But in the Migdash, it's Mutar. So you can bake the Lechem Aponim on Friday of yontif for the sake of Shabbos. Why? Because that's Migdash. And in Migdash, we don't apply a shvus. Now, Rabbah himself apparently paskins like the Tanakhama, because all the arguments that he brought to the table against Rav Chisda are predicated on the principle that on a Torah level, you're not allowed to bake from yontif to Shabbos. That's why he attacked Rav Chisda from the institution of Erev Tavshil. But now, according to Rav Chisda, we're not going to accept the same interpretation, and it's going to come out that Rav Shimon now is the Das Yochid, and the question is, why? And the answer to the Gemara is because Rav Shimon is matir even a shvus rechok. Now, another point that we have here that I wanted to share with you is that afias halechem of shtei alechem can be done on erev yontif. So let's talk for a moment about the following. For that, I think we have to read a little bit more in the Gemara. So let me see, do we have another 5 minutes? Yeah. So let me just introduce Shtei Alechem. So Masiv, Rav Mari Esekash on Rav Chisda from a Mishnah Menachos, it says Shtei Alechem of Chag HaShavuos, Einam Necholos Lopochos Mishnayim, not less than 2 days after they were baked. V'lo Yosef, they're not eaten Yeser Al Shlosha. You know, there's no, the maximum is 3 days. Ketzad. In a regular case, Nefos be Erev Yontif. On Erev Shavuos, v'necholos liyontif. Shehu l'shnayim. It's the second day after their afir. The afir was on Erev Shavuos, and the eating is the next day on Shavuos. Again, it's eaten by Kohanim, obviously. Now, chal yontif lios achar Shabbos. What happens if Yontif is on a Sunday? So Shavuos is on a Sunday. Then we're going to have to bake the lechem, the shtei lechem, on Friday. And then echolos liyontif lishlosha. So Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday is 3 days. Lefi she'eno doche loas haShabbos v'loas haYontif. The Iamrit asks Rav Mari Akasha on Rav Chisda that Tzorchei Shabbos nasim biyontif is hashta. Why isn't afias lechem upon him doche yontif? Why do you have to bake them on erev yontif? The Shabbos biyontif shari, the yontif biyomtov mi boy. If you're allowed to do malach on yontif for Shabbos, certainly you should be allowed to do malacha of yontif on Yontif itself. In other words, if you're allowed to do Tzarkei Shabbos on Yontif, even though he's not going to be nene from that malacha, except on Shabbos tomorrow, so do I have to tell you that you're allowed? It goes without saying that you're allowed to do malacha, which is Letzarech Yontif itself. And that should apply even if he doesn't have any anah from the malacha immediately, but rather liachar zman. And again, since we said that the shtei lechem are mutarim l'kayanim, but when can the kohenim eat from the shtei lechem? That's after they shecht the kivsei atzeres. Is from the fact that they weren't matir the afiyah of the shtei lechem on yontif. It seems that the Torah wasn't matir to do malacha l'tzarech ochel nefesh unless you can benefit from it immediately. So when you say they were matir tzarchei Shabbos b'yontiv, why is that so? You're not benefiting from it immediately. You're benefiting it from tomorrow on Shabbos. The answer must be ho'el v'miklai archim. And that reasoning doesn't apply in the case of shtei lechem, because right now they're not ru'uyim l'achila until after the shechita of the kivsei atzeres and the zrikas adam. Is since the afiyah of the shtei lechem can be done from erev yontif, therefore it's not doche yontif. So the Gemara answers Hashem shiny the omar kra. The pasuk says that achasher yochel chol nefesh hu levadu yosel lochem. And from the extra word lachem, we derive lachem l'chol tzarchechem v'lo l'tzar gavoa, and not for the sake of gavoa. So we see that there's a special din that applies to gavoa, to kodshim, in this case to the shtei lechem, that excludes it from the word lachem, and it's not considered ochel nefesh. So Gemara asks, "Rav Shimon Gamliel, diyom mishum Rav Shimon hasgan doches ayontiv?" Again, the same Rav Shimon in the same tradition that we saw earlier with regard to lechem aponim applies to shtei lechem, and the afiyah of the shtei lechem is doche yontiv, and it's mutter on Shavuos itself. Ma'ikal emeimar, how are we going to explain that? What about the words lachem velo ligavah? Is sover like Yavashol, Diyama Lachem, Lachem Litzarchechem, Velola Nachrim. Right, that you're allowed to do Malachas on Yontif for your Tzrachim, and not for the Tzrachim of a guy. Okay, this is where we're going to stop for today. So we're up to Sholach Le Rav Chisda Le Rabba. Thank you very much. Have a great day and a happy Hanukkah. Yeah.